My name's Mark. For those of you that don't know me, I have a lot of history with this congregation. First of all, my daughter Kelsey is Kelsey Martin, and my son-in-law Tyler are here, obviously. But some 35 years ago, I was amongst the youth, but we didn't sit up front. I want to give you a lot of praise for the fact that your youth are up here. That what a great thing to have the youth right here together. We're going to be talking from John chapter 11, so if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn over there, we'll begin in John 11, verse number 45. And before we begin, I want you to know that at the end of this sermon, we're going to do what's called an invitation. And the invitation is an opportunity for those who have not become a Christian to take the time to become one. It's an opportunity for those who have been a Christian that may have needs, that may need the prayers of the congregation, that might need to make a public sin known, an opportunity for them to do that as well. And at the appropriate time, we'll have the invitation. Not long ago, I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a youth minister, and he was telling me that he went to a youth event, and the first night they had 100 people or 100 youth that were present at this youth event. And then he said to me this, he said, "I had 100 responses to the invitation." And I was initially shocked by that comment. He said, "You had 100 youth in attendance and 100 responses to the invitation." Then he told me this. He said, "Well, they didn't come forward, but everybody responded to the invitation in one way or another." And this morning's sermon is about just that. How do we respond to Jesus? Or I've entitled the sermon, "What Do We Do With Jesus?" That's a question that was asked by the Sanhedrin in John chapter 11. You see, what Tyler just read a moment ago from John 11 is an account that took place after Lazarus was raised from the dead. So here you have Jesus. He was in a different place when Lazarus died. He waited there for several days before he traveled to where Lazarus was, and he raised Lazarus from the dead, and these people witnessed that. And the people that were present when they raised Lazarus from the dead, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, all had a choice to make. And based on what they observed, the Sanhedrin become aware of the fact that Jesus has raised this man from the dead, and they ask a question: what do we do? It's found in verse 47 of chapter 11 of John 11. But may I rephrase it and say, what do we do about Jesus? What are we going to do about Jesus? And that's the question that came to them, and that very question comes to us as well. What will you do with Jesus? You see, just like my friend, the youth minister, pointed out, everybody will respond one way or another. Question is, how will you respond? This morning, I want to look at three different responses to that question, and specifically from John 11, the three different responses that are seen there. Once we look at those, the lesson will be yours. In John 11, we have that account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And Tyler read from verses chapter 11, verse 45 through 53. And then you saw the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, in verse number 47, asked that question. And they asked that because you have all these people talking about something that they had never seen before. You know, one of the things that we forget is that these people that lived during that time had never seen anyone raised from the dead. This wasn't an everyday occurrence, just like it wouldn't be for us today. And here, Jesus raised a man from the dead. And so they all had to make a choice about what their response would be about Jesus. The first response to the question, "What will you do with Jesus?" is that you can choose to reject him or to ignore him. Look at verse number 46 of John 11. It says, "But some of them," that is some of the people that saw Lazarus raised from the dead, "went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did." Some of these people that just witnessed something they've never seen before in their life, a man being raised from the dead, their response was to go to Jesus' enemies and report that to them. They had witnessed something they had never seen, something they would probably never see again. And even though they witnessed something so great and marvelous, they ignored it or rejected it. They should have reasoned this way. They should have asked the question, who is it that can raise someone from the dead? But instead, they rejected him. You know, some today, in our world today, they'd choose to reject or ignore Jesus as well. They go on about their lives doing whatever they want. They may acknowledge him, especially during this time of year. We'll have many people that acknowledge Jesus, that acknowledge his birth, but are they ignoring him and not living the way they should? Are they not following? They choose not to follow them, even though they may acknowledge him as being Jesus? You see, ignoring Jesus is the same as rejecting Jesus. And so when that question comes, what will you do with Jesus? That's one of the choices you can make. You can choose to reject or ignore him, just like those that witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead. They chose to ignore the power in which a person could do such a thing. What will you do with Jesus? The second response to that question, what would you do with Jesus, is you can try to destroy him. That's what Caiaphas said, the high priest at that time. And in verse number 49, it says, and one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. You see, the council of the Sanhedrin, they decided that it would be better just to kill him. That's the response to Jesus raising a man from the dead. He should die for that. I find it interesting, the Sanhedrin never rejected the fact that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. They didn't try to go out and say, no, it's not true. It was just a trick. They didn't deny any of that. I'm reminded of when Jesus was on the cross, these same men walking by, and it says in the text that they wagged their heads and their fingers at him and said, you who saved others, save yourself. You see, that's a testimony to what they observed. They observed Jesus save other people. Maybe they were referring back to Lazarus when he raised him from the dead. But the choice they made to that question, what will you do with Jesus? They chose to destroy him. Even though they had seen these marvelous things, they plotted to kill him. And they asked the question, what should we do? I love the fact they asked that question because it's an important question for you and I. What will you do with Jesus? They could have rejected him, the Sanhedrin. They could have just passed him off and ignored him. But instead, they chose that he should die. They could have recognized that that only somebody that came from God would be able to raise somebody from the dead. But instead, they looked at their own power influence and decided Jesus needed to die. Today, there are people actively in our world that seek to destroy Jesus. They seek to destroy his church. The militant atheist wants to destroy Christianity in the church. You see, they don't want Jesus' standards governing their lives or anybody else's life. But as blatant as the militant atheist is, there are those that are not so blatant and not so vocal that want to destroy the church as well, and sometimes even from the inside. I'm reminded of what Paul told the elders in Ephesus as he's about to leave, and he tells them that ravenous wolves will be among them, the elders, and will tear apart the church. That's the choice they made. They seek to divide. They seek to raise themselves up on a pedestal. We talked this morning in class about Ananias and Sapphira, Christians who had done some great works, but they tried to elevate themselves, and they lied to the Holy Spirit and to God in the process. That's another choice you can make when you ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? You could seek to destroy him, just like the Sanhedrin, and specifically Caiaphas, the high priest at that time, decided to do as well. What will you do with Jesus? The third response to that question, what will you do with Jesus, is that you can believe in him. Look at verse number 45 of John 11. It says that many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. They had witnessed what had taken place and they believed in him. Now let's not just cast that off willy-nilly, so to speak, because Jesus was teaching at the time something that was in stark contrast to what the Jewish religion taught. But you see, the people that believed in Jesus saw what he did and asked the right question. Who is it that could do such things? Only someone that came from God could do such things. And so they believed in him. They didn't allow their religious prejudice of the time to get in the way of what they had observed. They reasoned properly that only a man from God could do such things as to raise somebody from the dead. And they responded to him, to Jesus, in belief. What will you do with Jesus? I'm reminded of how many people today might see what the Bible says about something and yet they fail to act. And sometimes I'll hear people say something like this: I know it says that, but... They might see what the Bible says on baptism, but because of their family or because of their comfortability in their current area or their comfortability being challenged, they fail to respond. You see, these Jews at the time in John chapter 11, even though Jesus was teaching something in stark contrast to what they had believed religiously for such a long time, they asked the right questions and responded in the right way. Who is it that could do such things? Only a man for God could do it. And then they believed in him. But really, there's a fourth group. You see, you have the group that chose to ignore him or reject him. That's a response to what you do with Jesus. You have the group that chose to destroy him. That's a response as to what you could do with Jesus. You have the group that believed in him. That's a response to what you could do with Jesus. But really, there's a fourth group. Because even with those that believed in him, their belief required some kind of action. In fact, if you go just to the next chapter in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, it says there, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many what? Believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. You see, belief is not enough. There must be a response to that belief. What will you do with Jesus? Do you believe in him, but you're afraid of what the world might think of you, or they may think poorly of you? Especially you young men and women, you go to school and you see your friends. Are you afraid of what they might think of you? That's what these leaders were afraid. They believed in Jesus, but they were afraid what the people might think about him. And so they refused to confess him. Maybe they'll call you a Bible thumper or a religious nut. But your belief in him requires action. You see, it's not enough to just acknowledge him. Acknowledging him without following him is the same as rejecting him. Let me say that again. Acknowledging him without following him is the same as rejecting him. That's what the leadership did in John chapter 12. They believed in him, but they wouldn't confess him. What will you do with Jesus? I've heard people say this, maybe you have as well. They'll say something along the lines of, you know, if I could just see Jesus today, I would believe in him. Have you ever heard someone say such a thing? Do you know they can see Jesus today? It said that the sun does not, the moon does not have its own source of light. The moon reflects the sun, and we see at night that moon in the sky. And it has influence over everyone at night, does it not? Are you a moon Christian? Do you reflect the S-O-N? You see, the moon reflects the S-U-N. But as Christians, you and I should be reflecting the S-O-N, sun. Are you a moon Christian? You see, that's a way for people to see Jesus. And in seeing him, they might believe in him. There are some who recognize Jesus because they see his reflection in you and I. They'll respond. They'll follow him. You remember Jesus said something along these lines in John chapter 8 and verse 12. He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light." That's a description of what I just said, being a moon Christian reflecting the light of the world. That's Jesus. Are you walking in the light, reflecting the sun, S-O-N, so that others might believe? Give them an opportunity to make a choice on what they might do with Jesus. You see, when you reflect Jesus in the world, then people see that and they have to make a choice. They have to ask themselves the question, what will I do with Jesus? Though they may choose to ignore him or reject him, they may choose to try to destroy him, they may choose to believe in him but not really acknowledge or confess him, or they may choose to believe in him and take action that's necessary to be saved. And how great it is if we can influence the salvation of one person. I once had a conversation with a group of elders. We were talking about what we would spend the money on to do a certain event. And one of the men, it wasn't an elder, but one of the men at the time said, well, we were talking about spending about $10,000 for the specific event. And they said, well, we've done that before and we only got one person to respond and be baptized. And I asked this question. Would you pay $10,000 for a soul? One soul. Is it worth $10,000? One soul? I mean, if we could just buy a soul, wouldn't we just come up with $10,000 and put it on the table and say, yes! One soul is of great value. And so if you and I, in reflecting the sun, can influence one person, we've been successful. So the question comes to us today. Each of us is going to respond to the question in one way or another. How will you respond to Jesus? I began the sermon a little bit differently than normal. I started with an invitation. You know, I talked about the invitation. Normally that's at the end of the sermon, and we're going to have an invitation at the end of the sermon. But I did that intentionally because every one of us will respond to the invitation one way or another. You may not get up and come forward. You may not ask for the prayers of the church, but you will respond to the invitation one way or another. Every person here. How will you respond is the question. Will you choose to ignore him or go on living your life and maybe just acknowledging him, but ignoring and rejecting him and in doing the things that he wants you to do? Will you choose to destroy him? Maybe not in the way the militant atheist does, but by breaking up the church. Sadly, I've been to a lot of congregations, and I'll go to a town, and there'll be multiple churches in that town, and they split. And you know, the majority of the time, that split had nothing to do with doctrine and everything to do with personalities. Destroying the church from the inside. Or will you choose to believe in him and follow him? Will you be a reflection of him? Will you be a moon Christian? You see, choosing to believe on him is not just acknowledging him. That's what the leaders did in John chapter 12. They believed in what Jesus was saying and what they observed, but they took no action. They wouldn't confess him before men. What will you do with Jesus? The question comes to you and I today. We will all choose one of those options. Question is, what will we choose? At a time of year when Jesus' birth is being talked about and celebrated as it is this coming week, and that's all great, but if it doesn't change the life of one individual, then it's of no value. If it doesn't change, it doesn't bring one soul to Christ, it's of no value. And by the way, our responsibility is to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father. We have a responsibility to be the moon Christians. As we pointed out in class this morning, talking about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, there's a difference between shining your light and letting your light shine. See, I could stand up here and shine my light, tell you all the good things I've done and everything great about me. That's what many of the people did in response to Jesus. They shined their light, but our responsibility is to let our light shine, not so that we get the glory, but so the Father gets the glory. Being a moon Christian, how will you respond to Jesus? That was the questions the Sanhedrin, the leaders at the time, the Jewish leaders, religious and the civil leaders, because at that time they were all one. That's the question they asked. What do we do with this Jesus? What do we do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? In a moment we're going to stand and sing a song. It's an opportunity for those that haven't become a Christian, if they want to take the steps that are necessary to become one, to get all the things Ephesians talks about, all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. In fact, if you want a great study sometime, go to the book of Ephesians and look at the word in Christ or in Jesus and how many times it's listed. And all the benefits that those that are in Christ get. If you're not a Christian this morning, you have an opportunity to receive those same benefits. And by the way, if the benefits are for those in Christ, we can make a logical conclusion there. They're not for those not in Christ. You want the spiritual benefits that come with being a Christian? You got to become a Christian. And so you have the opportunity to do that this morning. If you're already a Christian, you need the prayers of this church, or you have another need, need to confess some public sin, whatever your need is, I encourage you to respond physically to the invitation this morning as together we stand and sing the song selected.